Do you remember hearing Maury Vinden speak? What was his main theme? Hard to be lost. What did he teach about learning to trust our Savior, to know him? Do you remember his son had us, when he came here, when Lee came, he had an illustration of three principles. Do you remember the stool? What were the three legs? Yes, we had prayer, Bible study, yes, and sharing. Those are the three principles that his father taught us, he taught us, principles to know God, to know Christ for life eternal. And they're three simple concepts, three basic principles, but that they are where we seem to fail the most in our Christian life. It's where the devil tempts us the most to ignore, to leave them off. And it's already been mentioned here today that the conference is working very diligently to teach us to remember prayer. I have seen many times where people feel weak in Bible study. And so that's where we're going to focus today. This is just one of these principles. Studying the Bible for ourselves. And the vast majority of us are at an age where we should be very experienced in this. We should know a great deal about it. But in hearing people talk, I've realized again that we need to be reminded not just to do it, but some ideas on how to do it. You know, it becomes very easy to rely in our devotional life on a little devotional book that takes us maybe 5 minutes. I'm done. I did that for the day. Or study the Sabbath school lesson and let that be it. Read the quarterly. And we focus on the story in the devotional book or what the quarterly says, and we forget to even focus on the Bible verses that we read. We used to, if you remember, when we were young, we memorized the verses each day. I don't know if the rest of you remember that. I particularly remember it because in the mission field, it was still being done. And I thought, look what we have lost, because I have hidden thy word in my heart. Why? That's right, that I might not sin against thee. And we need to remember our Bible study. And so often we lean on somebody else to study the Bible and then spoon feed us. It's like eating baby food and not letting the Holy Spirit feed us ourselves. So we often wonder, well, then why is the Bible reading not as interesting as I think it should be? Why do I not feel like doing it? But as I was looking over some of the Spirit of Prophecy quotes that I have treasured throughout my life, I was reminded again about the fact that we learn to love to read the Bible. We are not people who are born with a godly nature anymore. That was the way we were originally created, but we have a different nature now, and it does not call for us to read the Bible and to know God. This is something learned. It's something God puts in us, but we need to pursue, to educate. And when we learn it, reading the Bible is such a treasure. So first of all, I would like to start off with encouragement that I found as a young adult when I first started trying to have a devotional life, because it was a learning. experience. This is from the book Education, pages 260 and 261. Many, in their seasons of devotion, fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. They are in too great haste. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps for a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for counsel. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to their work. These workers can never attain the highest success until they learn the secret of strength. They must give themselves time to think, to pray, to wait upon God for a renewal of physical, mental, and spiritual power. They need the uplifting influence of His Spirit. Receiving this, they will be quickened by fresh life. The wearied frame and tired brain will be refreshed. The burdened heart will be lightened. Not a pause for a moment in His presence, but personal contact with Christ, to sit down in companionship with Him. This is our need. That quote has been copied multiple times in my Bibles as I've replaced my Bibles throughout the years. From Ministry of Healing, page 53, very quick one, speaking of Christ. The early morning often found Him in some secluded place, meditating, searching the scriptures, or in prayer. Christ lived these three principles. He studied the Bible, He prayed, and then He went out and shared. Counsels to parents, teachers, and students. Pages 455 and 456. Take the Bible as a study book and see if you are not filled with the love of God. Your heart may be barren, your intellect feeble, but if you will prayerfully study the Word of God, light will flash into your mind. God works with every diligent student. And last, just a little one from volume 5 of the Testimonies, page 266. The more you search the scriptures with humble hearts, the greater will be your interest, and the more you will feel like exclaiming with Paul, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." Every day, you should learn something new from the scriptures. Search them as for hidden treasures, for they contain the words of eternal life. Pray for wisdom and understanding to comprehend these holy writings. If you will do this, you will find new glories in the Word of God. You will feel that you had received new and precious light on subjects connected with the truth, and the scriptures will be constantly receiving a new value in your estimation. Encouragement to us to try it, to study the Bible again, go back to studying the Bible. And yet, how? What things can we do in our personal Bible study if we're not being guided by a devotional book or the Sabbath school lesson or Bible study guides or something? Do you remember what Maury Vendon recommended for those who are just starting a devotional life? I saw your lips moving.
Read the Gospels.
Read the Gospels with what book?
Desire
of Ages. Yes. Read a chapter, read part of the Bible, then read the part of Desire of Ages that goes with it. That's where I started out. And while I was in the process of doing that, my husband got a call as a volunteer to the mission field. As volunteers, you don't take a shipment. You get to take what you can pack in your little suitcase. So I packed my Bible and my Desire of Ages. I got there, and I thought I was going to be a missionary too. I found out that I felt like a 13-year-old. I couldn't drive a car. I couldn't talk for myself. I couldn't live on my own. I had to share an apartment with another couple. and do as they said. I had nothing to do that felt useful. No ministry, no job. It was very frustrating. And even when I was given an opportunity to teach, I had to have somebody translate. I felt like I couldn't get close to the people. And so all the way around, I was frustrated and bored. And finally, I decided, okay, I'm going to take a little book. And there you could buy little notebooks about this size, copy books from the old-fashioned style of school, of teaching. And I decided, I'm going to go through the book of John, and I'm going to write down every question that comes to my mind as I read, things I wonder about, things I don't understand, and I'm going to stop every time and study till I find the answer. I didn't have much. I had a concordance in my Bible. I had a marginal reference. I had my Bible in my notebook, and that's it. And I had prayer. And I started studying. I was never so blessed. I was amazed at the things that I learned, that God taught me there. That's where I really learned to admire Jesus. Because I saw so many things in his life that were wonderful, things that were loving, things that were surprising, things that I didn't think went with Christian life, but I discovered did. And so that, I realized later, was a form of journaling. There are lots of different ways to journal. And so that's one way we can study the Bible, journaling. I didn't realize when I was in high school that a teacher was teaching us to journal by having us read parts of the gospel each day and then writing out a list. What does this tell me about Jesus? And I had found that that was interesting. That's a nice way to journal. Write down what your little story in the Bible has taught you about Jesus, about God. Remember how Shauna journals, how she began her ministry? Drawing what she was reading, what she was blessed with, focusing on promises in the Bible, and God has turned it into a wonderful ministry. Now bilingual even. There are so many ways to journal. You can prayerfully read and ask God to impress you with what you need to learn that day. I read a book years ago, What Happens When Women Pray. And I believe it was in that book that she talked about the blessing of simply starting to read where you left off yesterday and asking God to show you what he wants for you that day. And then reading until something jumps out at you. When it jumps out at you, stop and pray. Think about that verse. Think about that phrase, whatever it is that God has brought to your mind. Because haven't you asked him to bless your Bible reading? Asked him to tell you? So now he did. Believe that that's what he's done. He's pointed something out for you. I have found that it is amazing how God will bring to your attention precisely what you need for that day. And he'll do it from whatever section of the Bible you're reading in. Doesn't make any difference. He will find there what you need. And write it down, Bible journaling. There are challenging techniques and very simple techniques to study the Bible. Years and years ago, there was a Buddhist man in Mongolia who happened to stop at a stall in the market that was selling Bible materials one day. And he decided he was going to buy whatever was cheapest. So he went home with the book of Jonah. And through the Mongolian winter, long and cold, he read Jonah over and over and over. When the weather cleared up and he went back to that market, the seller in that stall was shocked that he had been converted through the book of Jonah. He found there a God who would forgive sins, a God who would show you what you needed and then give it to you, who made you not have to be afraid of hell. And he wanted more. And his farm became known as the Good News Farm because he began to tell others about the Jesus he had found through the book of Jonah. It doesn't matter where you read, God will teach you. So, another way of Bible journaling is to read a chapter and then outline it. We learned in school how to outline, and it can help us see what's important. So outline. And if you are persistent enough and have outlined every chapter in a book, outline the book. Find out what is the principal point of the book, and you'll find yourself very blessed. Boy, time's really flying there. Memorizing. I've given whole sermons here in the past on Bible memorization and the blessing from that. But just repeating things over and over throughout a period of days will bring all kinds of new meanings to your mind that you had never even dreamed of before. Help you understand things that you never understood. Scripture songs. Scripture songs can help you in your memorization in the first place, but have you, maybe you haven't heard, I don't know, but Isaac Watts, when he was young, all that was sung in churches were the Psalms. And if you haven't noticed, there is no rhythm to Bible translations of the book of Psalms. And those songs were frustrating and difficult to sing, and he did not enjoy them. So he took it upon himself to rewrite the Psalms in hymns that were enjoyable to sing. So you can take your hymnal and look for the hymns that were written by Isaac Watts. Let's just look at page 35, I believe it is the first one. Yes. And turn to Psalm 147 in your Bible. I should have brought my own hymnal because I had them written down there. So I'm going to have to try and remember. Let's see here. I'll have to.
What hymn?
Hymn number 35 in the Adventist hymnal. What Psalm 147? So, I don't have it analyzed here in this hymnal. I forgot to bring my own. But if I'm not mistaken, verse 3. Goes with stanza 3, I believe, goes with verse 8. I could be mistaken here, but he covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. That's not the right verse. Stanza, just a second. That would go with stanza 5. The changing wind, the flying cloud, obey his mighty word. With songs and honors sounding loud, praise ye the sovereign Lord. And I have found it fun to go through, look at his hymns, and pick out which stanzas go with which verses of the psalm and how he understood it as compared to how I understand the psalm. And it broadens my thinking out and is a blessing. It's a form of scripture song. There are many, many ways to study the Bible. I think I'd had you look at the wrong hymn. All right, well, I just turned my page here in my notes. Go to, the one I intended to have you go to was 39 and Psalm 5. There, that one. That's what I had planned. So let's look at that one. Psalm number 5 and hymn number 39. Let's see here. We're going to start in the psalm with verse 3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. The hymn is, Lord, in the morning thou shalt hear my voice ascending high. To thee will I direct my prayer, to thee lift up mine eye. And it goes on through. And it's just fun. This is a fun way to study your Bible, comparing back and forth between Isaac Watts's understanding and the way he turned it into poetry and what David wrote or the different psalmists wrote. And you can challenge yourself to write poems, to make poems of the Psalms. And that can be a real blessing to you if you are have any interest in writing poetry, if you've noticed ever any ability to that end. Again, on Bible memorization, I don't know if you've heard of Bible Navigators or NavPress. They have many different Bible study tools, but one of them is little cards. You can buy cards on different topics of the Bible and carry them with you. They're business-size cards. Carry them with you to study throughout the day to help you in memorizing. And then there's word study. I'm going just a little bit over. Sorry about that. Word studies. That has a real blessing in it. But you need to know what kind of words to choose. Don't choose a preposition. Don't choose a conjunction. You'll get no spiritual blessing out of those kinds of words, and you'll never find the end of them. You'll be studying months on the word the. But you can choose in different ways. You can choose something that you are interested in, maybe grace or hope. Or you can read, and then as you notice a word that is repeated, study that. For instance, in the book of Titus, the word sound, in that little short book, the word sound is used 5 times. Why? What is he talking about there? What did Paul have in mind for Titus? Or it might be a word that has a different meaning now than it did when the Bible was written. For instance, the word meditate, meditation. Nowadays it means something completely different than David meant when he talked about meditating. So you can use that word to study. Or, in Philippians 2:7, emptied, where it says Christ emptied himself. What does that mean? For Christ to have emptied himself. So when you choose a word and start to study, first look up what was the original word used, because what is translated into English may come from in the Bible may come from different original words and have different meanings, or the original word can be translated into various other words that you'll not realize are related, going together. So find the original word. What did the author use? And what does that mean? You can find that by looking in Strong's Concordances or by getting on to Bible Gateway online and so on. You can You can find the original word and what it means, and then look for other occurrences. For that, you'll also need a concordance. Where is that word used? And if you don't understand how to use a Strong's concordance, talk to me. We can discuss that later. It's not hard. And then it's good to find out what commentaries say. What did commentators say? Not just one, but look at several if you have the access to them, either at home or online. Nowadays, all of us have easy access to Bible study tools through the internet. And then make your decision what it is that you think the Bible is teaching you through that word. What does it mean in the context that you're studying it in? And how will you apply its meaning? Now, a study like that isn't done in one day. That's a project. So expect it to be a project. Don't be disappointed if you can't finish it today. Expect that to be an ongoing study, and you'll be really blessed. You can study a Bible doctrine, not for proof. Don't study a Bible doctrine for a proof text so that you can tell somebody what they ought to believe. Study a Bible doctrine for what you can find there about God. Why is that a truth that we believe in? Well, how does that illustrate God's character? How did Jesus live out that truth? That can bring real spiritual blessings. And when you're giving Bible studies, it will deepen your Bible study to others. It will broaden the people's minds, and it will make it more interesting for them. Not just what you should believe, but why is that true? All of these things can draw you closer to God. Remember, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Why? That's right. They searched the scriptures. How often?
Daily.
How often did the manna fall?
Daily.
That's how often we should be with God, daily. Eat from his word. And Paul reminded Timothy, study, why? Approved of God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. We are preparing for the time of the end, and we don't want to be ashamed. Not of ourselves, not ashamed of Christ. If we're ashamed of Christ, what does Christ? He's ashamed of us. He loves us, but if we are ashamed of him, he says he'll be ashamed of us. And not because he wants to, but he can't step in where we don't want him. And if we're ashamed of him, then we don't want him showing up. But by this experience, by studying to know him, studying to know his truth, studying to be like him, studying to know God, we will find so many blessings. And we'll find ourselves naturally becoming like Jesus. It won't be a great effort. It will happen because we admire him. By beholding, you are changed into what? The same image. Those are promises. And we will be able to know that we know him. Remember the disciples on the path to Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus? Christ opened their minds to see the scriptures in ways that they never had before. And on the way back, what did they say to each other? Did not our hearts burn within us? You will find in studying the Bible with God, studying the Bible with the Holy Spirit, that your heart will burn within you as he reveals to you things you've never seen before. And I pray that that will be your experience, that we'll each study more and more and have more to share with each other and with those around us who don't know him. You'll have to tell me what it is, because I don't have a... Okay. So let's stand together and sing number 475 in the red hymnal. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus.